You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. Last week we taught on Ephesians chapter 1, the prayer out of Ephesians chapter 1. Y'all bear with me, I'm healed in Jesus' name. In Ephesians chapter 1, we went over that classic prayer, that 17th verse where it says that, you know, Paul prayed that God would grant them the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of Him, the eyes of their understanding being enlightened, they would know what is the hope of His call and the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And, you know, and have put all things under His feet and given Him to be the head over all things of the church, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. And we just went over that. If you pray that every day, Brother Osteen challenged us, John Osteen, our pastor, back in 1976. I heard him preach that message. And he challenged us to pray that every day, just every day, to put yourself in that. Where he says, Paul was praying for the church at Ephesus, that God would grant you, you know, pray, God grant me the spirit of wisdom, revelation, the knowledge of you, that the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened, that I might know what is the hope of your calling and the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, the church, which I'm a part of, and that I might know what is the exceeding greatness of your power toward me who believes, according to the working of your mighty power which you wrought in Christ when you raised Him from the dead. I mean, pray that prayer, make it personal. You will never be the same. Never. Wisdom comes from God. Insight, revelation, understanding comes from God. We can read. We can take in all the knowledge. We can do all the legwork. But if we're going to get revelation and we're going to get understanding, that comes from God, and you have to pray to get that. And that's what Paul was saying, for this cause I pray. Some things you can preach into people, teach into people. Some things have to be prayed into. And you and I have an obligation, responsibility to do our part to make this thing happen. Amen? So he prays that prayer, awesome prayer, classic prayer. And then he prays another prayer in the third chapter, which is just as awesome. Are you with me? Just as powerful. And, you know, just as scriptural. That's a no-brainer. Because it's in the Scripture. And if you're wondering, you know, what's a good prayer to pray, what would be scriptural, do you think Paul knew how to pray? I think he did. And when we have the Scripture itself and a prayer recorded in the Scripture, I think that'd be a pretty good indication that's a good prayer to pray. Amen? To pray for others and to pray for ourselves. So it says here in the third chapter of Ephesians, the 14th verse, again, he says, for this cause or this reason. I think that's significant. That's what he said over there in the first chapter, that he was praying for a reason. I think we ought to be praying for a reason. I think we ought to have points to our prayer in the sense that we have a purpose. We're not just random here. We're coming to God because we need God. Are you with me? We need His help. We need His hand. We have a reason. We're not just going through the motions. Well, why are you praying? I don't know. We're just supposed to pray. Well, no, we are praying with a purpose. See, if you're not praying for any purpose or any reason at all, there's no point in praying. Amen? Now, Paul identifies some things. And so, you know, when you pray, you ought to have a purpose. Are you worshiping? That's a purpose. Are you honoring God and thanking Him? That's a good purpose. Are you needing wisdom? Ask Him for that. That's a purpose. For that cause, you're praying. See? And he says, for this reason, I bow my knees. I like that. That's submission. That's just a sign of submitting to God and to His rule and saying that He's Lord, not me. And for this cause, I bow my knees. I know that I'm going to have to get right with God. I'm going to have to submit to God to get this, whatever this is I'm praying for. For this cause, I bow my knees. I look to God. I ask of Him. I submit to Him. I bow my knees to Him for this cause. You know, I love this quote, and I quote it often. Blaise Pascal, you know, said there were three reasons why God instituted prayer. And, you know, in the way his vernacular, the way they talked back then, he said God instituted prayer to impart to His creatures the dignity of causality, meaning that God has just let us be a part of the process. You know, you think about it. We are laborers together with God, the Bible says. Prayer proves that. Every time I pray, it's a sign, an indication of that. It tells me that God wants me to be a part of this thing. When God moves, He moves through prayer. And I'm the one who has to pray. And you're the one that has to pray. That's a good thing. That gives us some dignity. We're not victims. We're not pawns on a chessboard that God is just moving around and everything is already pre-planned and predestined. We are part of the plan.
That's right. Amen.
We have a will. And God wants our will involved. And He has given us this awesome honor and privilege called prayer.
Yeah.
I love that. So it gives us the dignity of causality. And number two, he says this, it teaches us from whom we derive power or get power. In other words, when things go wrong, what do? We pray. We go to God because we know we need help and our help comes from heaven. So every time I pray, I'm reminded that God is the one that sustains me, that protects me, that heals me, that takes care of me. I need Him. Prayer reminds me of that. If I don't pray very much, then I'm not reminded very much of that. Hello.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And if I don't pray much, then I'm not cooperating with God very much and not using the responsibility that He gave me, the privilege, the honor of working with Him to bring things to pass, hallelujah, to change situations, circumstances, the dignity of causality, to learn from whom we derive our power. And then thirdly, he says this, to make us earn other virtues or other gifts and virtues by our efforts. And this is what's amazing. When I begin to pray, say if I just put it on my list to pray for a mow every day for 30 days, you know. Well, first of all, you'd like that. That's good, yeah. God gave me this privilege of working with Him to help mow through prayer. That's awesome. And I would know that the best thing I could do for mow is go to God for him, because that's where the real power comes from God. But here's that third thing comes into play. You know what? Mow doesn't just get blessed. I don't just cooperate with God in this thing and have some dignity here. You know, I'm not just a pawn on a chessboard. But I'm also changed and receive other virtues by praying for Mo. So prayer is a wonderful thing when you think of it that way. And I thought that was awesome the way he laid that out. It gives us the dignity of causality. Helps us, we're laborers with God. It causes us to reminds us of whom we have or get our power or answers or help from. And it changes us. It gives us other virtues. So Paul's praying. He says, for this cause, I bow my knees. I tell you why Paul's such a powerhouse, because he prayed for others. He gave out to others. He taught others. He preached to others. He prayed for others. It changed him. Woo. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Hallelujah, somebody. This family's not just up in heaven. This family's down here on earth. He's not just the Father of those in heaven. He's my Father. He's your Father. The whole family in heaven and earth is named after this Father. I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. He's my daddy. He's your daddy. That's the way Jesus said to pray. He said, pray after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Matthew the 6th chapter, the 9th verse. We're supposed to address God as Father. We're supposed to get the revelation of family. I was thinking just tonight in the two praise reports that we heard, both those praise reports had to do with children. Jennifer giving God a praise report for how God had just moved, you know, with Branson and all the little things that worked out with the doctors and so on and so forth. Chris was given a testimony of,
Kate.
No, not Kate. He did that. But I was talking about
the
Cunningham girl, the Cunningham lady that got that van and how God had blessed her with all those kids she had. And then, of course, gave the testimony about Caden and how God healed that. All of us were excited about that. We can relate to that. We connect with that. We know what it means to have children and have children in need. And what a blessing it is for those needs to get met. I mean, that gives us a glimpse, just a glimpse of the way God looks at this thing. This is the way we should view this thing. Let's start out and remind ourselves that this is a family. God's not God. He's our daddy. Of course, He's the creator. We know that. But it's more than that. It's more intimate than that. And we're not just making a deal with God and not just going through some rules here and principles. Are you with me? Although there is order. Daddy's got rules. I understand that. But Daddy loves us. He's crazy about us. He cares about us. He wants our ears healed. He wants our fingers healed. Are you with me? He wants us to have a van to drive around all those kids, you know, that we whatever the need may be. He is our Father. And that's the way we should approach prayer. We're coming to our daddy, asking for help, guidance, wisdom, needs, protection, whatever the case may be. So it says, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he, the Father, would grant you. He would grant you. Yeah. Oh, I love this. It gets good. It gets gooder. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Man, I love that. It's got to start right on the inside. The answer to your problem starts on the inside. The strength you need on the outside starts on the inside. You don't get the inside right, you're never going to get the outside right. You can look good on the outside and be rotten to the core. Are you with me? But if you're good on the inside, it will permeate the outside and it'll change all the outside. That's why the scripture over and over says things like, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I pray that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Get that first. Get your spirit right. Get your insides right. It takes God to get your insides right. Yeah. You can't just unscrew somebody's head and just pour this in them. Right. It takes the Holy Ghost, takes God, and takes prayer to do this. And he was praying first that God would strengthen them in their inner man. And this is interesting, according to the riches of his glory. This is not something man does, and this is not based on money you have. It's not based on the government you're living under. It's not based on the time period you're living in. It's not based on any of this world's goods. This kind of strength comes from the riches of his glory. One translation says concerning this verse, that I believe it's 20th century New Testament, says, on the basis of his riches, his ability and resources, in proportion to the wealth of his glory. Man, I love that. That's how God strengthens us. He does not strengthen us according to our genes, our upbringing, our circumstances, our resources in the natural. He strengthens us according to his riches in glory. See, that's where we miss it. Yeah. Even financially, we miss it that way. I think of Philippians 4:19, where it says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We're in a financial need. We're serving God. We're tithing. We're giving. We're doing all those things. And we're just having a rough time financially. And we're praying and asking God to help us. But we got our eyes so centered and focused on the natural, the loss of a job, the stock market going down, or you know, the housing industry, whatever the case may be, that we're looking at this thing wrong. He says, my God will supply your need according to his riches in glory, not according to the economy. According to your job. Now, thank God for your job. And if you don't have one, let's believe God for another one. I believe God will provide one. But God's your source.
Yes, yes.
Are you with me?
He is.
And this kind of strength we're talking about is not something that somebody has and somebody doesn't have. And, well, I'm just not that kind of person. You know, that's nice for them. I wish I were that kind of person. This kind of strength comes from heaven. It's free for all. You can get this kind of strength. You can get this kind of peace, this kind of strength in your inner man. If you will pray, believe God. Amen?
Yeah.
He's got plenty of it. In fact, it only comes as you pray anyway. You have to pray to get it.
That's right.
So he says, 16th verse, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man.
Yeah.
17th verse. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith.
Yeah.
I like that, dwell in your... You know, I think that has another connotation of being comfortable in your hearts, living in your hearts. I've accepted Jesus. You've accepted Jesus. He's talking to a church that knew Jesus as Lord and Savior. He wasn't praying that they get saved. I believe they were saved. He's talking to Christians. He called them saints when he opened the letter. But he's asking that Jesus to be comfortable in their life. That's a good way to pray. Lord, I want you to be make your home. Just sit down on my couch, in my house, in my heart. And I want you to be comfortable in my home. I don't want to do anything that would make you uncomfortable. Are you with me? See, I think that's something we need to pray. Amen? Make his home. Be at home. Be comfortable as if he were at home in your hearts by faith. As we believe, as we trust, we make it very comfortable for Jesus in our home. I believe Jesus is very uncomfortable when we start doubting and slandering God and saying we're not going to make it, and God's not going to come through, and there's nothing we can do, and I'm just at my wit's end. I don't know how I'm going to make it. You're really insulting God when you say that, and you're making Him very uncomfortable, and He's sitting right there in your living room. Did y'all get that? So we want him to dwell in our hearts through faith. I like that, through faith. Faith is the way you make him comfortable. Faith is the way you make him right at home. In fact, he'll always be right at home, and he'll be working and moving and you'll have miracle after miracle, and his presence will be so strong, and people will always see him in your house because faith will make him comfortable. That makes sense? So he'll always be moving, and he'll always be seen. He'll hang out with you. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love. Man, that's pretty strong right there. Rooted and grounded. And that would be like walking in love. God wants us to walk in love. That we're so rooted and grounded we won't step outside of love. When hate goes right, we stay still because we're grounded in love. When love goes left, we go left. When love goes straight, we go straight. When bitterness pulls us in another direction, we're so rooted and grounded in love that we're not moved by bitterness. We're not moved by hate. And you have to pray to get there because we're human. We're natural. We get offended, and we have to pray. We have to pray that we don't get offended. Are you with me? We have to pray that we don't get insulted, that we don't, become a victim. Because really that's what you are. If you're just going to be offended in your life, be bitter toward people all your life, and you're going to be critical of people, and you're going to hate people, then you're just going to be a victim because you're totally a victim of your emotions. Your emotions are ruling you. The devil's ruling you through your emotions. And God wants to set you free. Hallelujah.
Amen. That's right.
You say, how do I get free? Get rooted and grounded in love, and it'll free you up. Love will always set you free. It'll set you free from bitterness. It'll set you free from hatred. It'll set you free from unforgiveness. You won't be so mad and angry all the time. Hello. But you got to pray to get there. You know, I've always said this, and you've heard me say it over and over. You cannot hate someone you're praying for. You cannot be bitter. You cannot gossip. You cannot be critical of someone that you're praying for all the time. And so I find in myself that when I get critical of someone, I can write it down. I hadn't been praying for that person. Anybody join me and say yes? Amen? Sure. We've all been there. I mean, I'm sitting here. I'm getting upset. Can't believe they did this or that or said this or said that. And I have to stop and remind myself, well, obviously, I hadn't been on my knees praying for that person. Because if I had been rooted and grounded in love, first time I heard it, I'd start praying. Some people just make me mad because I'm not praying. Truth be known, they don't make me mad. Truth be known, my lack of prayer makes me mad. They get me so upset. No, your lack of prayer gets you so upset. And go a step further, your lack of love gets you so upset. Well, how do we get back in love? Start praying. Are y'all with me? That's a good message. Tough, but it's good. Good stuff. We all need to hear. And you realize I'm talking to me like I'm talking to everybody. I figured, goodness gracious, I hope y'all are not as messed up as I think I am sometimes. Because I can think of all kinds of things I need to work on, and I just assume we're all in the same boat here. We all have to deal with this. All I can say is I need to be praying for you if you're like me. I need to pray. Are you with me? I'm not saying I'm wicked and evil. I'm saying I deal with these things. I have to hit my knees. I have to pray. Or they will consume me. And that cost is way too high. The anointing, presence of God, ability to minister. You know, you have to be able to minister to people. As a pastor, this luxury of hatred, I can't afford that luxury, okay? This luxury of bitterness, I can't do that. Because people come in, and I have to forgive. I can't be looking at someone and thinking of what they did wrong and how they offended me and how they hurt me. Are you kidding me? I have to pray for them. Or I can't minister to you. It's not right. But it is what it is. Are you with me? I mean, you can get away with so much more than I can. I have to look at you. That's a good thing. Amen. It keeps me straight. I know I got to get back up here and preach, see, Wednesday. I got to get back up here Sunday morning and preach. So I have to pray. And it changes me. I need to pray. You need to do the same thing. Okay, so it says here. Sure is getting quiet in here. Huh? Good stuff. Yes. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. Stop. Wow. How do I comprehend? Well, first I'm going to have to be rooted and grounded in love, or I'm never going to comprehend. Are you getting it? The reason you don't understand, the reason you have so much trouble figuring this thing out, because you won't love. And God's got a governor on this thing. Faith works by love. And I believe revelation comes through love. In other words, God's not going to give you more revelation if you're not walking in the revelation you have. So if I'm not loving with what I know and what scriptures I've got and the things I've learned, then God's not going to take me a little higher. But you know, God gives seed to sowers. He doesn't give seed to people who don't sow. So why would He give revelation if you're not going to use it? He gives revelation to you as you use it. But I want more revelation. All right, walk in more love. If you're faithful in the little, He'll put you over much. And this is something that's amazing about God. God is love. He operates in love. Everything He does is based on His love. If you get a hold of the love of God, you'll start getting revelation on God and His Word. Because love is why He does everything. Love's how He does everything. It's how everything works. It is the more perfect way. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that. And it lists all kinds of things. Faith to move mountains, tongues of men and angels. Sacrifice and giving your body to be burned. But you don't have love, you're sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. And He wasn't saying have love instead of those things. He was saying doing all those things in love. We need to do those things in love. Because love's going to give us a revelation. I believe that. You get on your knees and you pray for people. You pray for a city. You pray for a church. You pray for your family. You pray, God, you know, reveal yourself to them. God, give them wisdom. God, bless them. God, open up doors for them. Give them favor. Lord, turn them around. Don't hold this sin to their charge. Even if they're in sin, pray that God does not hold it to their charge. Pray that God reveals to them their sin, that they would open up and repent. Pray. Pray the love of God on them, and all of a sudden revelation will start coming to you. First of all, the revelation of how much God loved you when you were in that mess. Are you with me? I got no stones to throw. I don't have a problem with long-term memory. I remember when I was lost. I remember when I didn't know Jesus. I remember the ungodly things I did and said. Slanderous things I said about God even. Back then when I didn't know God. I remember that. I see people like that today. You probably see people like that. You may know some people like that. You know, when you're serving God and you're living right and you're living holy, you know, those kind of people, in the natural, they kind of rub you wrong. They just, ugh. But if you'll stop and think about, hey, you were that way one, or might have been that way one day. Maybe you know somebody. Look at me. If you weren't that way, if you lived a good Christian life, thank God. You got a better testimony than I do. But when you see someone like that, think about me. Your pastor used to be that way. Drugs, jails. Now, I wonder what you would have done when you saw me then. Would you have prayed for me? Would I have prayed for me? I don't know. But it would have been the right thing to do. Wouldn't it? Yeah. It would have been the right thing to do. And when I see people like that, the right thing to do, I may be appalled at what they're doing. I'm not condoning their sin. And we stand against sin, and we're open and honest and against sin. But we sure need to pray for the lost. Are you with me? But see, that's a revelation. That's a revelation of the love of God. That's what that is. How does God view this world that's so messed up? And it is messed up. It's broken. It needs a fixing. In fact, it just needs to be renewed completely, and it will be. How does God view it? How does He see it? You ever look at it from His perspective? I can tell you how he sees it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Man, that's powerful. But see, that's love. That's what I need a revelation of. That's what we need to get a hold of. Amen? We need to be rooted and grounded in love that we may be able, 18th verse, to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ. Man, that's so wild. He says you got to walk in love to understand love. To get a revelation of love, you're going to have to start with... See, this is one of those things, you're only going to get it by experience. You're only going to get it by doing it. That's it. You know, you can study it, you can write all the notes down, you know, but if you don't do it, then you're not going to get it. It comes from doing. Through faith we understand. I love that. Hebrews 11:3 tells us, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. But I just love that first part. Through faith we understand. Through believing and standing on God's Word, we understand. He didn't say through understanding we believe. No, he said through faith and through believing we understand.
Yeah, that's right.
It's just the opposite. Well, I don't understand all that. Why do I got to love this person? Why I got to pray for this person? Why do I have to live holy? Hey, you just do it. And as you do it, you begin to understand it. Well, I don't think it's right that I pray for that person. Just, it is right because God said it's right. Quit trying to figure it out. Just do it. In time, you'll understand. As you're rooted and grounded in love, as you get to where you just don't move out of love, you're going to stay in love, then you begin to comprehend what is the height, depth, length, and breadth. Then you begin to know the love of Christ. Hallelujah. Which passeth knowledge. In other words, it's beyond human knowledge, human understanding. This is not man's way of doing things. This is completely opposite and averse to what man would do in most cases. We always want to assert ourselves. We want to, you know, demand our rights, as it were. We want to make sure we get our due instead of helping others, you know, blessing others. But God's just the opposite. If you humble yourself in the sight of God, he'll exalt you in due time. Woo! So you'll be able to comprehend, to understand, and to know the love of Christ by walking in love to start with. Make sense? This knowledge only comes through experience. It doesn't come from reading and studying. It comes from doing, acting, through purposely, willfully choosing to act in love. And if we believe and act on God's word concerning this matter, then and only then we will comprehend and understand and truly know it. Man, I'd like to know more about God's love, wouldn't you? I'm overwhelmed by it when I just the glimpse of it that I have. I'm just melted by it, and brings me to my knees when I consider it in my own life. And that's just an inkling of the love of God. When I think of how he did not give up on me. How, you know, see, that's one way to start. Start with yourself. Just start right where you are. Think about God's love for you. Well, God loves everybody the same. He doesn't love you more than someone else. He doesn't love someone else more than he loves you. He loves us all the same. So if you can kind of get an idea of that love, you're getting an idea of what this other stuff's all about. Hey, believing God's not a problem when you understand love. Praying for others is not a problem when you understand love. Forgiving's not a problem when you understand love. Wow. Okay, so he goes on here. In the 19th verse, he says, to know the love of Christ, to know the love, you know the love by doing the love. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Woo, hallelujah. Man, we talk about power. You know, we talk about authority and power, and, you know, and honestly, we get talking about those kinds of things, the power in the name of Jesus, miracle signs and wonders. I tell you what, it gets exciting because we like power, we like authority. You know, we like manifestations. And hey, they're there. I believe in them. I preach them and I teach them. But there's, if you want to be filled with the fullness of God, here's what, the love of God is how you get filled with the fullness of God. Not just power. See, if you're thinking of God in terms of just power, you're missing the point. Oh, God has power. He's the creator and the maker of all that is. I understand that. But see, what the Bible tells us, what Jesus showed us, and what Paul is praying, is that we get a hold of this thing called love. What's love got to do with it? Everything. You get love, you get a hold of love, you get a hold of walking in love, you get on your knees, start praying for people, and be weird and different and peculiar, you will be. But if you choose to do that, you know what will happen? You'll start being filled with the fullness of God. Christ will make His home and feel very comfortable in your home. And love will do it. Man, you can get up. Listen, you can get up and you can talk about sin and not be condemning about it. If you're doing it in love. People sense love. I can get up and talk about, you know, what's wrong with the world, what's wrong with homosexuality, what's wrong with abortion. You know, I can talk about all kinds of things and still do it in love and saying, you know, if you're a homosexual and you repent, God will forgive you. Come on, we'll take you. If you repent, God doesn't hate you. He hates that sin. It's killing you. It's destroying you. Abortion's murder. If you committed abortion, if you had done two or three or four abortions, if you have done that, it is sin. You cannot make that right, but you can repent of that and come to Jesus and He'll receive you and you can start over. Hallelujah. God doesn't hate you. But that's sin. We can't candy coat it. If you're living together, that's sin. Marriage is holy. Marriage is sanctified in the sight of God. Living together is sin. It's fornication. It's outside the confines of marriage. It's wrong. It is not right. It is not a good thing. You need to get right. I was talking to somebody just this week, came up and talked to me and telling about their situation. I said, well, listen, if you go ahead and get a license, I'll marry you this week. If you will get right, I will marry you. Because you're living in sin. I was just as nice. They received it. I mean, it was just, you know, you can, if you stay in love, you can dress sin. You say, hey, can you be so sure? Because that's exactly the way God. That's exactly the way God dealt with me when I got saved. I know it works. It was the love of God that slayed me. It absolutely bowled me over. All my arguments and all my rebellion and all my fighting, I could not fight that love. Could not fight that love. I knew I was in sin, but God didn't hate me. He's wanting me to come. He's wanting me to repent. He's wanting me to come to Him and come out of my sin. And I couldn't fight that. I couldn't fight that. Love was overpowering. It overpowered me. See, that's we need a revelation of the love of God. It's the love of God that sustains us, that restrains us, that maintains us. I mean, you go right down the list of things that love does. But love will win. Love will overcome. It will absolutely blow away any arguments. You can't argue with it. I came to Jesus because I got a revelation to whatever degree, although minute as it was and still small today even, but as minute as it was, I came to Jesus because I realized that He really, really loved me. He loved me. I knew I was in sin. I knew I was a sinner. You know, kind of proud of it at that time. But all that time, God just wooed me. The hound of heaven was on my trail. And when the hound of heaven gets on your trail, you might as well hang it up. People were praying for me. People were witnessing to me. Brenda had gone back to church and got right with God. And I mean, it was over. My days were numbered. There was nothing left for me to fight with. I finally laid all my arms down of rebellion, and I surrendered to God. I gave up. I gave up to the love of God. That's what I gave up to. Exactly what I did. And thank God He did not give up on me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So it says here, this helping you?
Yes.
That's what we need a revelation of. A comprehension of it. We get little glimpses of it. I tell you, it helps us. It helps us look at people and pray for people and reach out to people. Come on, man, where's the love? You know, you hear that. We ought to have some love. Love's why we feed these people out here and put this food out every week. That's why we do what we do. Love's why we give to missions all around the world. It's love that compels us to do that. It's the love of God that causes us to do Hallelujah Night every year. It's God's love that causes us to get on television. It's God's love that's compelling us and pushing us and to build buildings and to reach out to people. It's just the love of God. It takes you over. The world needs this. They need this love. They need to hear about the love of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Woo. So, it says in 19th verse, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, there's a connection here, and I think there's a progression here if you start in the beginning there, we start praying the 15th, 14th verse all the way through this, that he says five things that he prays for that I've noticed here. First, to have strength, or to be strengthened with might by his spirit and inner man. He prays for us to have strength, inner strength, spiritual strength. Second, he prays that that Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. We have fellowship. We need fellowship with Jesus. We need Jesus to fellowship with us for him to be comfortable in our hearts, in our home. Third, to walk in love, to be rooted and grounded in love. Now notice the progression, to have strength, to have fellowship, to walk in love. If you don't fellowship with Jesus, you're not going to walk in love. If he's not in your home, walking around, hanging out with you, then you're not going to walk in love because you've got to have him as that example to follow. Isn't that right? Okay, and then fourthly, to know love, that you'll be able to comprehend and know the love of Christ. And that's progressive. He strengthens us. He strengthens us for fellowship. I love that. He strengthens us to live right in fellowship with him. And then we know the love. We walk in the love, and then we know the love. And then fifthly, if that be a word, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. To be full of God. Wow. Man, I want to be full of God. Amen. To have strength, to have fellowship, to walk in love, to know love, and to be full of God. Now, you can't skip those steps. You can't jump steps. You can't just jump over to being full of God. That's not going to happen. Nor can you jump over to knowing love. It's not going to happen. You're going to have to back up and do the... You can't go from first grade to third grade. Doesn't work that way. You go from first grade to second grade. Second grade to third grade. So pray God give you strength to live for him. Amen. And that he fellowship in your home, and that he'd be at home in your hearts.
That's right.
And then pray that you be rooted and grounded in love, that you do things in love, and then pray that you comprehend it as you act on it.
Amen.
And then you're going to wake up. All of a sudden, you're just going to be full of God.
Wow.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Because it'll take you. You get full of love and you comprehend love, you're going to be full of God. That's what God is. God is love. Amen? Hey, let me finish. Can I read the rest of this chapter?
Yes, sir.
Good, man, it's good stuff. It says, to know, 19th verse, know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And obviously that's love. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. It goes back to faith there. You know, if you're believing God, then God's able to do something for you. But if you have no faith, and there's nothing he can do because he's able to do according to the power that works in us. So how much faith's working in you? That's how much God can do for you. Amen? In fact, the Amplified says this. You ready for this one? I love that. I just love the Amplified in this one. It says, now to him who, by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Man, that's powerful, and I just love that. I got to read it one more time. Are you ready? Now to him who, by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. That's pretty good, isn't it?
That's pretty powerful.
That's pretty powerful. And God's able to do that according to the power that works in us. To Him. To Him, he closes out here in the 21st verse. To Him be glory in the church. Wouldn't you like to see God glorified?
Yes.
Well, He's glorified in the church. Wouldn't you like to see His glory? It's in the church. That's where the glory of God is. And it's time we go through these steps and pray these prayers and be these men and women that God called us to be. So the glory of God, which is in the church, can be manifested. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations. That's this one. That's the one you're in, and I'm in. To all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Woo! Man, that's good stuff. Well, there's a good prayer. Amen. You say, well, man, I don't know what to pray. Well, man, I've already given you two good prayers. You came last Wednesday. And this one, there's two good ones right out of the Word. And if you'll meditate on it and take your time and chew on it, like, you know, like we do when we're teaching here. You know, so all we do is just take a verse and we'll talk about it and chew on it and emphasize a word or two in there. Think about it and apply it to your life in a practical way. And revelation starts flowing. Because we're chewing on it. We're meditating on it. That's what we ought to do. If when you pray, you ought to have a dialogue. You ought to talk to God. You ought to listen to God. You ought to. It goes both ways. Amen. But here's a great prayer. Pray that God will give you strength in your inner man. Pray that God, Christ, would dwell in your hearts by faith, that you'd have fellowship, true fellowship with Him. Pray that you'd be rooted and grounded in love and you'd walk in love. Pray that you'd be able to comprehend and to know the love of Christ, to know love. And pray that you'd be filled with all the fullness of God, to be full of God. Wow. That's a good prayer.